your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Gathering here on the Para-X Network. And this is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie. And we have another Tuesday.
We are here, second Tuesday, our second Tuesday of the year.
Yeah.
And here we are, apart again. I was going to say a separate. Separate and apart is my new
separate
word.
Separate and apart.
A separate is my new word for the year. That's the word of the year. We're a separate again.
But yeah, next week we'll be together.
Do you say next year? Don't say that.
I know. Next week. For sure.
Yeah. The stars just didn't align this time for us to be together, so we're apart again, which is weird.
Yeah, I know. It's been like a month. Yeah, I'm not really digging it, but you know, I was the one who did it this time, folks. I'm still not well from my little whatever it is going on, and coughing fits. So I didn't want everybody to hear me coughing, and I thought even if Heidi and I were together and I muted my microphone, you would still hear me.
Yes, through my microphone. So here we are.
Yeah, so I'm here. We're separate.
We are a separate. But that's okay. We have some fun stuff to talk about. And we can also talk about what we've been up to recently and the things that we've been working on. So
yes. So, well, Heidi, you know, you missed out, but we did go squatching this past weekend.
I know. I was bummed. I had to work. I mean, I'm not bummed that I had to work because I love what I did, but I couldn't go with you guys.
I get it. No, I know. And we had, you know, the wetlands, the marshlands are frozen over now, so we can go almost everywhere. And it was such a beautiful day out that day that we really did just walk and walk and walk through those wetlands up there. And we did go across the marsh where you and Katie were, and you felt like you weren't welcome there. And it was a different atmosphere. We did do some offerings.
So you guys went over there too, the whole group?
We did. We did give some offerings, and I did, you know, say that we weren't there to hurt anyone and what we were there for. And so, you know, maybe that made a difference. I don't know. But
what did you feel?
I didn't really feel much of anything, actually. Okay. You know,
well, maybe the offering helped.
Maybe. But, you know, that we had gotten over there, and it was much easier walking on the lake or on the, because there's a portion that's just, it's just ice. You know, you can kind of slip slide away all the way over there. And that's what we did. And oh my gosh, there are these three, a trio of big, beautiful, old, century-old pine trees, which, you know, I love, are well over a century. And I saw them like immediately when we got across. So when you get across that marshland, then there's like a field. And then there's the actual where the woods start.
Yep.
And once we got across the field and got to where I saw those trees immediately, right? So, of course, Steph makes beeline over there.
Yeah, I can
so
imagine.
I had to pay homage, you know, to these girls. And then we did the offering and stuff. And by then, you know, we had been out there for hours. And we were already late for the meeting because we had a squatchers meeting scheduled. So we kind of had to get out of there. But I do think that I do feel like that is the key. Can I just say, I think that area is the one we really need to focus on.
Well, and that's what I was thinking too, after we were there last time and we really got the feeling that we shouldn't, we're not welcome.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we wanted to go back. We're like, we have to go back there now.
Yep, absolutely. And like I said, we did do an offering, and, you know, we all said that we're, you know, not there to hurt anybody, that we're just there for informational purposes, actually, and we just want to find out what the real what's going on.
Yep.
And I do think that made a difference. And so, you know, it was a different feel. I think it's a different feel than where the stick structures are, but mm-hmm. it wasn't threatening at all. You know, it was just like a different place.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, next time, you know, I'm hoping to get out there before we have the big, because we're all going to go at some point in February, but I'm hoping that the weather is a little bit warmer so that we can get out there again, because that's, wow, that's the first place I'm going to go. But,
I looked at the weather. It's not supposed to be.
I know. It's supposed to be super cold now for a couple of weeks, so we may not get back out there until our scheduled day, which is just fine. But we found, so we were out on the ice, and I have to tell you, too, so beyond the stick structure quadrant, not too far away, we found some other interesting things, Heidi, which I have to show you when we go up there. We found some what looked like stick structures in the making, and we found this tree, and I will, Katie said she downloaded the pictures, so I'll have to go in there tonight, but there was a tree, a big, pretty big tree, like a birch. And then next to it was another little tree. And you know how every once in a while that happens and then a little tree shoots up right next to it, like a couple inches away. Yep. But usually they grow up and towards the sun or whatever. And this one had twisted itself somehow around the bigger tree and was bent in like an arc.
Oh.
And like somebody trained it to do that. So
interesting.
Very interesting. I mean, I've never really seen
and
that.
Where, was it close to the quadrant or was it somewhere else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. It's just a little ways away. Remember, you and I have both gone searching, I think, in all directions from that quadrant where the land uh-huh. is and found yep. anything. And this is probably just maybe a little bit further than we had gone before, but still there.
Okay.
But we did search a lot of the other areas around, and there are no stick structures anywhere else.
No, I mean, isn't. It's so weird. No.
And we were out there for hours, and, you know, we walked mainly on the marshlands because we could, and it was very fun to do that. And so we looked in the, you know, in all the woods and stuff from the shores, and there's just nothing like that quadrant. I mean, mm-hmm. it's bizarre. Yeah. And I do think, because we heard all that stuff going on from across the marshland, I do think that's where we really need to focus.
Mm-hmm.
Kim,
yeah, agreed.
Well, and Kim had gotten there later, and it was very icy, and she just couldn't go it alone, which I'm really glad, because I'm afraid she would have fallen. But they went and they drove around a little bit, and they got to a point that was probably kind of kitty corner to where we were, you know, across from the stick structures,
okay.
but further out. And mm-hmm. they were walking this ATV trail, and they heard a whole pack of coyotes just singing away.
Oh, cool.
We put a video of it up on the Squatchers page. But you know what they say. I mean, Don Sherman is always says that coyotes and Bigfoot go hand in hand. And other researchers have told me that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
there's everything there that for Bigfoot. And while we found bear tracks, big, huge bear tracks, and we found lynx tracks or bobcat tracks. And
which
I mean,
we've found there before.
We have, yes.
Yeah.
And just all kinds of, and then we found that big beaver dam, which was really, I had never seen one of those
that's
close
cool.
before. So that was absolutely cool. I had never dreamt that they were as huge as they are. Oh my God. And those animals do. It was just a very fun day all in all. I wish we would have had a few more hours, you know, to be out there because the weather was perfect. It was just perfect. None of us were really cold, you know, and we had been out for a long time, you know. So, yeah, it was a perfect day. So I'm hopeful that our planned day for all of us is a day like much like that, you know, because
yeah.
it was just amazing. But that area is where we need to focus because that's where we're going to find him, find her. That's where we're going to find her.
Find one of them.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree that going across the swamp area and going, you know, while it's while it's frozen is going to be critical.
Yes. Well, yeah, because we can't get to most of these other places, and there's a lot of other land there that's inaccessible when it's water. I mean, you'd have to walk through muck and mush, and who wants to do that? I mean, you could, I guess, or you could take a canoe. But when it's frozen like this, wow, it's amazing. I mean, there's so much. It's so big and so incredible up there, you know, mm-hmm. that I just think it could keep us busy for days, actually. We need to do this, you know, all before it starts melting, because it is just, oh, it's just a, like a totally different world up there, you know? So, yeah, and you know what I always say is, you know, any time in the woods,
it's a good time.
Yes. And, you know, we found, like I said, all these tracks, and there was a pair of bobcat tracks, you know, like one had been walking by herself or himself, and then another one came and joined. I mean, you could see all this, you know, it was just super fun. So anyway, Karin is talking about Bigfoot and says, we assume Bigfoot has two sexes, but they might be something else.
Yeah. Agreed. True. We don't know.
We don't. And
I mean, I know that there's opinions out there that there are genders like humans have, but mm-hmm. we don't necessarily know if it's limited to two. It could be more. It could be one. We don't know. So
we don't know. But we do know, you know, the ever famous Patterson film that started all this, you know, Bigfoot research, really. Her name is Patty because she definitely has breasts. So she was female. And reports that we've had from people up north talk about seeing Bigfoots of both sexes and children mm-hmm. and baby, you know, small Bigfoots. So yep. I don't know. It's just very interesting, man. I just hope we find one. We got to look them in the eye, because I think we're just this close. You know, we're just super close. So
even to get a photo, just a photo of something in the distance that we can go, yeah, I think that's it, would be so cool.
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, gosh, yes. Well, even, you know, I just think we're so close. You know?
Agreed.
And then what's cool is this area that we go to is very accessible to us. It's not that far, and it's just acres and acres and acres and a big, huge, dynamic place, and it's state-owned land. So, you know, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. So I'm so glad we found that.
Yep. That was a good thing to stumble on.
Yes, absolutely.
It's given us a lot of, it's over a year of investigating.
Absolutely. Well, we call it our project, and that's exactly what it is. I think, you know, we talked about even when we were there, it would be good, probably a good time now to put a couple of trail cams up by the stick structures to see if anything visits them.
Yeah, and we're not supposed to get any snow really in any kind of volume for a long time. So
I know, it's a weird winter up here in Minnesota. But that said, you know, it would be nice maybe the next couple weekends, if it happens to be a nice day at some point, it'd be good to go up there and put one of those trail cams out by the, hide it somewhere close to the stick structure quadrant so that, you know, we could see and just leave it for a week and see what turns up. Because I don't think there's a lot of activity there. I don't think there's ever a lot of people in that particular area where the quadrant is.
No, I don't think they go that far in.
No. So, and I think more people can maybe do in the wintertime only because it's accessible, because you can walk on the ponds and stuff. Because we did see footprints out there.
Yeah.
But a lot of them were older. You know, like I know the bear prints that I posted, I think were probably from a few weeks ago when it got really warm, because it melted. You could tell they had melted. And, you know, it has been a weird winter. And so I think that those were probably from hunters, from archers. But we didn't see any other, you know, we saw coyote prints too. I mean, we did see a lot of, it's just amazing. It's just an amazing place, can I just say? So I can't wait to go back.
Yes.
But what have you been doing now since our last show? What's been on your calendar?
Well, work. You know, I've been working and doing some work at the studio in healing journeys. And it's something that I've started in the last year, doing a deep dive with people in more of a journey, like a self-guided journey, working with people through breath work to help them find a healing path, their own healing path. And so we did some work on Sunday. It was really awesome. We were working on, because we have a topic on each one of these days. It's a full day, like a workshop, and we have a topic. And so we go in and talk, and this one was on shadow. And it was intentionally done in January because it is, you know, we're still in this dark time and, you know, with daylight and not daylight. And so I scheduled the series so that shadow would fall in January, because it's still a time where we're kind of in the cave, you know, if we're thinking of energy wise. And you know, kind of going into the cave and hibernating over the winter and doing our work. And this gives an opportunity for people to process this with someone else, so to get help if they get stuck or they're afraid to go in because it's sometimes scary stuff. So we talked about the shadow and going into our shadow and see what's in the shadow and how going into it, you know, can be really moving and healing and powerful. So that was a whole day on Sunday, and which is why I couldn't go squatching. Mm-hmm. But it was awesome. And yeah, there was some serious movement happening with the people that were there. And it was actually a decent size. It was a big group. And I was surprised at how many people were excited to go into the shadow, and because that's not always the case.
Yeah.
And, you know, because that's a daunting task sometimes. And people mm-hmm. were up for it, you know. And so good for them. They everybody was raring to go and wanted to tackle it. And it was really awesome. So I congratulate everybody that was there for diving in deep. And, yeah, that's what we worked on. And it was mm-hmm. a lot of fun, you know, crying and whatever. But it's good to go into that space. And so and it's just, it's been an interesting holiday season. I think coming out of 2018, the end of the year was challenging for a lot of people. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's probably a challenging year, but the end of the year, you know, I've had a lot of my business, thankfully, you know, I love what I do. And I know that there's, you know, quiet times and busy mm-hmm. times. And usually December into January is kind of quiet. And this year was not the case. I think a lot of people are having, you know, they've had some trauma around the end of the year or with family or just the end of the year, you know, they're ready to release. And people are calling like crazy, wanting to get in for Reiki sessions and mm-hmm. other, you know, consultations or whatever. So it's just been crazy. It's been nuts, mm-hmm. which is a good thing. Because again, I love what I do and I love that I can hold space for people in their journey. But it's mm-hmm. been interesting that this has been very busy. Busy time of year, which is not always the case.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. No, I agree. And, you know, I had that couple weeks off, and I think most of us did have a week or so off at the end of the year, which was fantastic. And, you know, I tried to clear my schedule for a while, but, you know, it just doesn't work. So now I'm right back into the thick of things, and it's like, you know.
Well, and then God. You got sick. So that's.
And then help. I got sick, and that kind of threw me for a loop. So, yeah, I need to get over this now. I'm done with this.
We're all done with it for you, Steph.
How yeah, about that?
We're all sending you energy Gosh. Of knock this out.
Yes, get this out of here. So anyway, if I disappear and you don't hear me for a few minutes, it's because a fit is happening.
Oh, don't worry. I'll let everybody know. Stephanie fell out of her seat and she's rolling on the floor coughing. So that's why you can't hear.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. So tonight we're going to talk about elementals, which we did once before, which was really fun.
It was really fun.
And so we have, you know, I think we'll just kind of maybe talk about what elementals are. And do you want to start the conversation, Heidi?
Because yeah, absolutely. And I do want to let people know that if you're listening and you're able to jump in the chat room, as we're talking, if you don't already have a story, you might find that you have a story. So go ahead and share it in the chat room and we can read it on the air. Because I think a lot of people do have connections or interactions with elementals. And mm-hmm. don't either realize it or don't have a place to share it if they do. So anyway, go ahead. Yeah. And, or if you have questions too about elementals, feel free to jump in the chat room and ask.
Yeah. So
an elemental is, you know, it's one of those things that when I start talking about it, if I'm with a bunch of skeptics, I could lose them quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, because when you start talking about this kind of stuff, people can, they'll either go one way or another. They'll, yeah, I think I believe this. I think it's real. Or they think you're nuts and they're checking out.
Mm-hmm.
Elementals are beings that we can't see, you know, like with the naked eye, usually. It's kind of like talking about ghosts or spirits, you know, something that's there, but we don't always see it or connect with it or interact with it through awareness. But they're beings that are connected with earth energies or element energies, which is why they're called mm-hmm. elementals.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're usually beings that, because they're connected to the elements, that's where they find their source, or their strength or their ability to manifest or connect or whatever, however you want to say it. And they can they have some ability to manipulate the energies that they're connected to. So if they're, you know, if we look at just the basic elements, water, fire, air, and earth, they would all have beings that are associated or connected to those elements that can gain, not only gain their strength from those elements, but also manipulate to some degree those elements as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big, you know, bird's eye overview of what an elemental would be. Now, when we get into the details, and this is where I think we'll have some, you know, a little bit of fun with it tonight, as we're, because people will say, okay, fine, earth energies, you know, we talk earth, water, fire, air, whatever, but elemental, like, what is it? So we would look at something that people would call like a fairy or mm-hmm. a gnome or a troll or, you know, those kind of beings that, you know, an elf, like we just came out of the holiday season.
Yeah.
Are the, you know, those I would consider elementals. Those would be beings that are connected to different elements that find their strength and connection with those different elements. So, and that's where I start to lose people, because when you start talking about fairies, you mm-hmm. don't have to keep people hanging on to your discussion.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So that's the kind of stuff we're talking about tonight, elementals and all of those beings that would fall under that category. Mm-hmm. So let's see here. We have a story here in the chat room. Steph, do you want me to? Well, I'll share it because she's having a fit. So here we go. you're almost passed out. So Kat in the chat room says she's not sure if it was an elemental, but it felt definitely like an outside influence. I was in the woods when a bad storm blew up. The trees were bending. The wind was insane. And when it peaked, I felt quite concerned and sort of reached out. Suddenly it got dark, like 5 p.m., even though it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and the wind around me stopped. Oh, that's interesting. Now, I don't know what would cause I don't know what would cause that. I don't know that it feels elemental, so I agree with you there, Kat. I don't know. That's an interesting story, though.
Well, you know, they say that was there a tornado around or like really big storms? Because they do say that when tornadoes happen, everything gets calm, you know, before it moves on. Even if it didn't hit where you are, or a really mm-hmm. bad storm.
Or even
and it's dark. And it's dark.
Well, and it turned dark. She said it mm-hmm. was like 1 o'clock, and it felt like it was 5 o'clock. And, you know, instantly. And I wonder if it could have been one of those, I don't know if this is an appropriate term, but those microbursts, too, mm-hmm. where it's like this blast of storm that comes and goes quickly. I don't know if that's actually what it is, but I've heard of those things. Mm-hmm. If that's not the right name, I apologize. But I don't know. I mean, it could be something that was connected to the forest because you're in the woods.
Yeah.
And, you know, this bad storm blows up and then all of a sudden it's like stopped. Could something have manipulated the energy around you to keep you safe? Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an interesting story.
It is. And Lorraine is saying the eye of the storm, because we know in hurricanes that's what happens for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, we hear that all the time. But, yeah, interesting. I mean, you know, who really knows, you know?
Right. No, that's interesting. Yeah, because was something manipulating the energy or the wind to keep you safe? You know, so that's what mm-hmm. I guess if I was going to connect it to an elemental, I would look at that first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's something that's keeping her safe, so it stops the wind, because that can be a damaging force, you know, a wind,
mm-hmm.
just a mm-hmm. wind. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's really cool. Thanks for sharing that with us. Yeah, I'm not really sure what to make about that, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because I think of like an air spirit, which if we're looking at wind, I guess would be associated with air, and the flying creatures or the flying elementals like fairies and sprites.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I guess if you have a lot of them, could they manipulate a strong wind possibly, or create a strong wind possibly?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess I haven't really looked at that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? So one of the elements that we were talking about are sylphs. Am I saying it right? Sylphs, mm-hmm. S-Y-L-F-S.
Yep.
And it says they are nature, you know, they're nature spirits composed of the air element. Invisible, they live in the sky, and they are invariably involved in some way with weather control. Mm. A sylph can sense the faintest shift in wind, humidity, temperature, and air pressure. So, I don't know. Mm. That's
interesting. So maybe they could be either creating it or helping alleviate it if they thought she was in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Exactly. It is.
And I would think that they would, you know, depending on how they're feeling. You know, I've had a lot of experience with elementals, and they're not always helpful. You know, mm-hmm. and even mm-hmm. the ones that you would think would be helpful, like a lot of people think, oh, fairies are good and they're cute and they're sweet and they're fun and they're sparkly and whatever. I don't always see that. I think mm-hmm. they're a lot like us, where there's the varying degrees of personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've had some cases where they are little creeps and they cause all sorts of problems, and we just wanted them out. And mm-hmm. it's very hard to, once they're kind of inside, it's like having ants, I guess.
Oh.
Yeah, they're hard to get rid of. So, I know.
Sorry
to compare fairies to ants, but kind of. Yeah. You know, where they just had caused tons of problems. And I'm not sure if I told the story last time, but I can certainly tell it maybe when we come back from break, because it might be a little bit of a lengthy story. But dealing with fairies at an investigation, we didn't know that we were dealing with fairies when we went there. The people that owned the business thought it was spirit related, and thought it was some kind of spirit interaction, intelligent interaction. And we ended up finding out it was mostly elemental.
Mm-hmm. I do remember you talking about that one on the air. I think you were talking about whatever happened, but I think it's worthy of a, you know, revisit after the break, because that was cool. It was interesting.
Yeah, it was unexpected, because we were assuming going in we were dealing with spirit, mm-hmm. and I mean spirit in a different form, but we were assuming it was a human soul interaction, you know, mm-hmm. some kind of human spirit or something, and totally not the case.
Yeah.
And they were being little stinkers. So they needed a talking to, basically.
Oh, my. Yeah. So who knows? We just don't know about that. Interesting story, though. Thanks for sharing, Kath. That was awesome.
Yeah, definitely. So, I think, wouldn't you think that fairies are probably one of the more common when we're thinking of elementals?
Well, I think so. But, you know, when I was doing a little research on elementals earlier, you know, they say that fairies are a different, they're not, they, a lot of people don't consider fairies to be elementals.
What would they consider fairies to be? I'm curious.
Well, because a lot of them are saying that they say fairies and elementals, you know, and fairies are not really elementals. They're a whole different creature themselves.
Hmm. Okay.
So who knows? See, there we go.
I don't know.
We just don't really know, really. See, because, you know, they talk about some say that there are definitely elementals, and then some say they're different. They're in a different category. So, yeah.
And I think I have heard along the way that they're more...
they're more attached to nature and the trees and stuff. Am I correct? So they're more...
Well, and that would... Yeah, I mean, that would still be... Elemental.
Yeah, it would,
you know,
be.
I don't know. I think they're elementals. And I think some people might consider them more of a helping spirit, like on our journey, not necessarily connected with Earth. But mm-hmm. I'm going to lump them in with elementals. That's just kind of mm-hmm. how they feel. They're outside. They like it outside. They're healthier outside. Mm-hmm. Their energy fits outside better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's just what I've seen with them. That's my
opinion. I always thought of them as an elemental as well. So I was, you know, it was intriguing for me to see that some people don't glump them in that same category.
Yeah.
You know.
But then you have other energy, I guess, like gnomes and trolls and sprites. And, you know, you've got those, I think, that seem to be pretty common. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. something that you hear at least about. Mm-hmm. on a regular basis. Well, if you're talking about elementals.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're talking about elementals.
You know, and I guess I never realized salamanders were considered an elemental.
Mm-hmm. They're under the fire.
I mean, there are physical fire salamanders, but
right. This is the fire elemental.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's, those elementals are all about fire, which is mm-hmm. passion and motivation mm-hmm. and drive. And you think of, you know, as we morph and change our bodies, our physical bodies throughout our lives, you know, the fire spirits or, you know, even salamanders, salamander energy can have a huge impact on people, you know, if that energy is with them and really strong with them as they're going through these different changes, they could have a lot of fire spirit around with them. So, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. You know what? We are halfway through the hour, so we have to go to break. So stay with us. We will be back in 2 minutes right here on the Para X Network. This is The Gathering.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
Demons. Vampires. This and more. Sunday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock. The Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line!
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome back here to The Gathering on the Para-X Network. This is Heidi and Stephanie, and we are talking about elementals tonight.
Yeah, it's a fun show. You know, it's fun to talk about all these, what they all mean and what they all do and the different elements. You know, they're called elementals because of the elements, you know, fire, air, wind, water. They consider mermaids to be an elemental, the water elemental. I don't know. I think mermaids are a cryptid. What do you think, Heidi?
Well, yeah, we had this discussion before we went on the air, and mm-hmm. I thought that was an interesting point because you were looking something up and found an article that said that. And I guess I wouldn't have thought of them being elementals, but researching, there's a lot of people out there that say that mermaids are elemental, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting, I guess, you know. And I don't know if it's because mermaids most often have a human-ish form. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously they're not human, but do we then take them out of the elemental category automatically because they look too much like us? So then we think, oh, they can't be an elemental, they have to be something else, like a cryptid or whatever. So I think it's interesting to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. No, this little article that I found that are talking about mermaids being elementals, it talks about, you know, consider our relationship to the elemental of water. And then it talks about understanding a mermaid. Mermaid can sense immediately what another mermaid is feeling. And she can do the same with any life form, including human beings.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Says they, you know, apparently they occasionally appear in mythology, fairy tales, and legends. They have various names: Nixies, Naiads, Ondines, Undines, water spirits, water nymphs, and so forth. They're composed of one element, water. Guess I didn't, you know, whatever. They're being half fish on lower bodies and half woman on upper. But, you know, there's also mermen, you know. I don't know. I just consider them to be a cryptid. But,
yeah, I guess that's the way I've thought about it. So I would sit there for now. But could I see where it could be elemental? Sure. I mean, I guess, you know, when I think of elementals, or at least the what I've grown up, or grown up, no, what I've just thought about elementals being is always something that's like smaller than a human.
Yeah.
You know, you always think that they're smaller.
Small,
than
like fairies and gnomes and those kinds
of
things.
And I mean, I've seen some bigger ones, but they're still like the size of a large dog, maybe. You know, that, what was the one that I saw? I would call it like maybe a gremlin. I don't even know if I'd call it a gremlin. I don't know what to call it. It was, I knew it was an elemental, but it was really nasty, and it was big, like a big dog, but it didn't look like a dog, like wolfish, but it wasn't a wolf. Like it was a creature on four legs, and it was hairy, and it was snapping like sharp teeth, that kind of thing. And but it was an elemental. Like I could feel the energy of it was an elemental. I don't know why. And that was at a house that I was doing a investigation and home clearing, because they were having so much trouble, and they had said that they thought it, that not the only activity, but one of the things was a dog there. And I was like, you know, it's not a dog. But I can see where they would think that, because the behavior and the look and the feel would have been dog-like, because it was on four legs and they would see stuff out of the corner of their eye. But when I saw it sneaking around the kitchen when we were sitting there, I thought, oh, that's not a dog. That is not a dog. The spirit, I mean, not a spirit of a dog. It was definitely an elemental.
Interesting. Well, and also mermaids. Oh, I totally forgot my train of thought. I'm sorry. Carry on. Well, Lorraine is saying, on a totally different wave here, Lorraine is asking, what are incarcerated elementals?
Incarcerated? That's not the word. Incarnated.
Oh, incarnated. Oh, I thought, see?
Where's your brain going? She's reading in the chat room the word incarnated and said incarcerated.
Incarcerated. That's what I was wondering. I thought, wow, what is an incarcerated?
An elemental that's in big trouble is an incarcerated
somebody
elemental.
Somebody that's really been doing bad stuff.
Yeah.
What I was going to say about mermaids, I thought of it now, is that, you know, when I think of a water elemental, I think of the water spirits. And, you know, Native Americans believe that there are spirits that come in and they're, you can see them, they're light, and they come by you, and they just, not a mermaid, though, you know? What do you think of water spirits?
Well, I mean, I guess if I'm thinking of a mermaid, sure, that would also be a water spirit, but you know, water spirits, I think, are very, they're interesting because, well, and this is like my experience with water spirits. I always lean towards my paranormal background because we have a lot of paranormal. You know, I've dealt with a lot of water spirits too. And this is in homes, like a lot of homes that I go to, I'm surprised at how much I find related to elemental energy, because when this stuff gets inside, it can really run amok, you know, and mess with things. So I've worked with houses where the people are having plumbing issues like nobody's business.
Oh,
and it's water spirits, these water elementals that are, you know, because they're working with what they're comfortable with or they're familiar with. And so they're, you know, running amok. They're inside. It's like, you know, you send the kids outside to play because they're messing up the house. Well, it's same thing. It's like, get out of the house, you guys. You're messing the house up. This isn't where you should be. You should be outside tearing it up out there. So playing in the lakes and the rivers and the ponds and the puddles and the whatever. But when these water elementals get inside, I know a lot of times I've seen people have a lot of like plumbing issues. That's just my experience.
It makes sense. I mean, when you think about it, it does make sense. But I do know, like up in the lakes, you know, up in lakes, I've seen actually, you know, water spirits, you know, like the lights moving around under the water and stuff. Mm-hmm. So Yeah, very interesting. Interesting.
It is.
Topic. Yeah.
You know, and on that note, I don't want to get anyone up into a tiz about having elementals inside me thinking I'm this ogre, which another elemental, to, you know, kick them out. But, you know, I know people that have made friends with elementals and welcomed them inside. Mm-hmm. And I personally think that's playing with fire, but right. Some people, that's their jam, and they do that, and that's cool. You know, they make spaces for them, though. They don't just invite them in and let them run amok, because then there's where your plumbing and your electricity can mm-hmm. go haywire. But mm-hmm. they'll invite them in and have little spaces for them.
Oh.
You know? I mean, if you think of these, like, fairy houses and stuff like mm-hmm. that, that's really along the same lines. You know, some people do it just because they like miniatures and they think it's cute. But really, when you put a fairy house out, you're really saying, hey, fairies, come on in. And that goes to that story of that business that I was investigating a handful of years ago. And when I was talking about earlier, where they thought that they were getting having issues with spirits, and it was actually elementals, and they were having so many problems with things going missing, and it was a business, so, and people not buying things. And when we get there, I discovered it was chock full of fairies and other elementals, and right smack in the middle of the store, all these fairy houses that they were selling. And like, well, okay, you're kind of asking for trouble here if you're going to put fairy houses inside, because fairies are going to move in. They like this stuff. It fits with what they like. It's pretty, it's fun, it's cute, it's little. And then you have all these little trinkets and doodads here as well that they are just excited over and playing with and whatever. So they're moving everything around. They're picking stuff up. They're putting stuff somewhere else because these beads and these little things, they just love it. And when people would come into the store, they told us, you know, people weren't buying. And what we saw when we were there investigating is these fairies were just dancing all over the place when people would come in, and they're flitting around, and people can't see them with their, like, conscious awareness,
mm-hmm.
but they are aware of these beings, and it's distracting them. You know, you can imagine if you're trying to focus on something, and out of the corner of your eye, someone's messing around or doing something, or moving around.
Yeah,
you know, it's distracting, and you kind of get sidetracked, and you forget what you were doing and whatever. Mm-hmm. And so it was the same thing that was happening with these elementals, these fairies, as they were inside, and they're flying around, and they're playing, and they're having fun, and these people are kind of walking in and seeing, like, just kind of staring off in a lot of land, and then eventually walk out. And so, you know, we had to talk to them and, you know, get them to understand that if they want to play, they're going to have to, you know, especially the owners of the store, if you're going to keep these fairy houses in, we have to start talking to these fairies because they're here, that they can play at night, they can go outside during the day, they can do whatever, but they have to leave the people alone during the day and also not be playing with the stuff. And if they're going to play with stuff, they have to put it back when they're done.
Yeah.
And, you know, so working with the elementals, you know, it's possible, but it can be a challenge because some of them are just going to be naughty.
Yes.
Because that's just what they do. And so then you have to deal with it. So if you're going to invite them in, you have to know how to get along with them, and you have to know how to move them along if they're causing too much trouble.
Mm-hmm. Kind of have the upper hand, so to speak.
Yeah, sort of. But it can be a challenge, absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. So good.
So, conversation. Yeah. But yeah, it's interesting talking about elementals because I think they're really, I think as long as they're outside, I think they're really cool. And I think they do a lot of good, and they can be very helpful and very protecting because they're obviously elementals are going to connect with the energy that they're associated with and the substance that they're associated with, so the water and the earth and the air and the fire, so they're going to be very protective over those different things. You know, they're going to so almost like conservationists, so to speak. You know, if you look at elementals as being stewards of the earth, you know.
Yes,
and
yes.
So I think that they're very cool for that, you know, reason. And I think people, they understand people's energies, as you had said earlier, you know, they can read people's energies. And so if they know, you know, if they can feel your energy, that you're someone that really takes care of the earth, is aware of water, you know, you don't dump things in the lake outside your house. You don't, whatever you would do to harm the earth. I think elementals can feel that energy in people. Mm-hmm. And so they might have, it might be, you know, easier to get along with them or to work with them if they know we're all on the same team.
Well, sure. Too. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that's interesting. So Lorraine is talking about, the Bible talks about sea monsters or water spirits. I guess,
I'm not versed in that.
I am not either.
Enough to be able to speak into it.
You know me.
So if you have more information, yeah.
Yeah, Lorraine, put it down. Tell us where we can find about that, because I haven't read that in the Bible. Not saying that's not there. I haven't read the full Bible from cover to cover. I've read a lot of it, you know, of church. You know, like in church, you know, they have you say you do read, you know, a book or something, a month or something until you're done with it. But yeah. But yeah, I haven't studied it. But that's interesting, you know. And they're saying that sea monsters are water elementals, because I'm thinking they're cryptids too, just like mermaids. But I don't know.
So Lorraine put a story on the chat room, so I'll read this one here. She said she purchased a beaver fur circular, and I don't know what that is. It's a Native American talisman that on the leather side had a sun, boat, and water drawn on it. She said she brought it home. It was purchased from an antique shop in California, mm-hmm. and she set it on her mantle when she got home, and then she went up and took a shower. The water was sounding weird, and the floor of the shower raised up. The seal on the drain lifted up, and it leaked on the ceiling located over the fur talisman.
Oh.
She said the plumber had never seen a seal in a drain do that. So how interesting, you know, could it have been? I mean, a beaver is associated with water, right? You just mm-hmm. said you saw that beaver dam built in the swamp area. So here's a talisman made out of beaver fur, and it has a sun, boat, and water, you know, mm-hmm. which boat and water obviously are associated with water. Beaver is associated with water. She goes home, puts it on a mantle, takes a shower, and here's water flowing in such a bizarre way all over this talisman on a different floor. It leaked all through it and went through the floor onto this talisman. I think that's interesting.
That's really bizarre, right? That is so, really bizarre.
Yeah, could it be connected to a water elemental? It's possible. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Jerry is saying water poltergeist. I don't know. I think it's interesting, and I don't think it's a coincidence that this talisman gets put in the house, and the second you take a shower, which is water,
yes,
leaks all over that same area that the talisman is in.
That's just bizarre. That's just bizarre. Did you keep that talisman, Lorraine? I mean, do you still have it? I don't know. I kind of think maybe I would have gotten rid of it right away.
Well, she's saying she's smudged and it's been fine. But did you keep the talisman? I'm curious about that. Yeah. So maybe just help shift the energy so that it didn't happen again if you smudge. Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah.
Because that sounds kind of like a mess.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Big mess. Yeah. So that's interesting.
Wow.
Good story.
We sure have a lot of, crazy things from stories, you know, from people being just crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. I love it.
You know, it's interesting, and maybe you've had this happen too, where when I'm doing paranormal investigations, it's not uncommon for me to have fairy activity when we're putting some of the equipment out. I don't know if that happens with you.
Oh.
Where it seems like you'll get interaction through the equipment, but it's not making any sense. Nothing lines up, you know, especially if you have areas of the house where it lines up and it makes sense. Like the interaction with the equipment, mm-hmm. It feels like it's being manipulated by a person, and you're asking questions and the answers that come through really make sense. And then you'll go to another area of the house where the equipment just goes bonkers. And it's like you feel like a kid is playing with the equipment. Has that ever happened to you?
No.
Okay.
I can't say that it has. Or maybe it has and we just didn't think anything of it, you know, so you dismiss it, you know.
Okay. And that could be. I mean, and it's interesting because we're going to be going back to the Bakken Museum here over the next few months. And it happens there a lot. And yeah, and it feels like all of a sudden it feels like kids have taken over, like little kids have taken over our equipment, and it's just going bonkers.
Oh.
And I had one piece of equipment that makes little noises and stuff. It actually sounded like it was playing music, which I've never heard. I'm like, how is that thing doing it?
Oh.
And all of a sudden I was feeling into it, and I'm like, I think there's a lot of fairies here. And they're playing with the equipment because of the lights and the sounds, and they're just going crazy, and they think it's great. And so I think it's interesting how I seem to have run into that on a regular basis when I'm doing investigations. But the Bakken is interesting because the garden is right by a lake. It's very near Lake Calhoun, and the gardens that surround the mansion are just gorgeous. And there's so many flowers and trees, and the water with the lake right there. It's just beautiful, and it just beckons for elementals to just play and be and have fun and live. And, you know, they take really good care of their property. And I think the elementals know that they really care about the land there. So they're very welcomed being there.
That is cool.
Yeah.
So Lorraine looked up that one of the Bible verses that talk about that, and it says, Jesus also understood the manifestation of water spirits. One time as Jesus crossed over the sea, a furious storm arose as water spirits were trying to overturn the boat. I do remember this now, actually, as we're talking about this. In their natural state, rocks, trees, water, etc. And then there's a solemn 148 says something about these would not normally challenge God and the authority of Jesus Christ unless the water spirits have inspired them. That's Matthew. So, yeah, interesting. Hmm. Yeah, it's all very interesting. So, yeah, I guess I'm going to have to pay attention to that and have a look at that. But, yeah, so way since biblical times, people have been talking about water spirits and things like that.
I don't know. I just seem to find elementals a lot. And I don't know if it's now because I kind of look for them. But you can just you feel the energy. If you just sit still, and I know that's hard for us to do, especially if we're investigating, we kind of have our brains zoned in on like finding spirits and human souls or whatever. But I find elementals a lot when I'm doing investigations.
Well, I'm going to be looking for them now. You know, it's not something that I've, you know, actually looked for before, but yeah, now that we've talked about this, we'll pay attention for sure.
Yeah. Well, and two, I think, you know, when we go squatching, I think it would be interesting to bring some of that equipment, too, and just see if we connect. Because I just think it's fun, and, you know.
I do, too.
It does. It feels like I know you can feel them when they're there, and it's interesting when they get a hold of the equipment and learn and see how to manipulate it or work with it. It feels like a little kid has a hold of it and is playing with it and just messing around just because it's fun. And that's what it seems like every time.
Right.
So
having a good time.
Yeah.
Well, and I know that, you know, in nature, I've certainly experienced fairies and things a lot, you know, when I'm out in the woods. But yeah, in investigations, that's really a cool idea. I'm going to have to really think about that. Yeah. Yeah. I love it. So I'll report back if I ever encounter some in an investigation.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, goodness. Well, we're down to like the last 5 minutes or so. No bugs. Heidi's talking bugs again.
Karen said that she goes, you're very connected to nature. And I said, yes, I love it. And she goes, I know you don't love all aspects of it. And at the same time in the chat room, we're typing up bugs because, no, I'm not a fan.
This last weekend, we were all walking out there and it's like, oh my God, it's so great. You know, first of all,
no bugs.
It's all gone. But you know what? And then a mosquito landed right in front of me.
No,
what's
come
a mosquito
on.
Doing alive in the middle of winter? And there were two of them. I'm not kidding you. And we, you know, we all looked at them in the snow and we're like, where did these guys come from in January?
Well, see, that's the problem is that we haven't had a lot of cold yet. But I know coming up in the next, I was looking at the end of January and mostly February, we're going to be, you know, highs of the 20s. So, which is still warm for Minnesota.
Yeah. It
but
is.
We need that cold to cut some of the bugs for next year.
Oh my gosh, do we ever?
Because we're going to be infested otherwise.
Oh, and I thought it was bad last year, honestly. I mean, you know, oh my gosh, But yes, we do.
Yeah. And Minnesota, you know, Minnesota mosquitoes are tough bastards. I'm just going to say it.
Well, and I also think that some of these illnesses will go away too once the weather evens off. I just don't think it's good for us to go from, 45 above down to 15 and then spiking back up again. Yes, we love those days where it's 45 degrees and we can walk outside in a hoodie, but it's just not good for us, because this is when I started getting sick, because when the weather started doing all this weird up and down, up and down, up and down stuff. So we just need it to be like a normal winter. The flies are worth it. And I agree with you, Karin. Oh my God, those flies up in the forest last year, I thought they were going to carry us away. Literally. Yeah. And they were chasing, they chased the cars, when you're in the woods and you're driving, in that deep, dense forest, you know where I'm talking, Heidi, and it's just get one car through there. And it's like, I swear there's just, swarms of them, and they follow the car and they fly with the car. It's just the weirdest thing. It's just weird, can I just say?
Yeah.
And they are deer flies, attack. And they're huge. Yes, yes, absolutely. anyway, goodness. All right, well, they are evil. I agree. Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, my.
So, well, I think it was an interesting discussion of elementals. And anyway, I like talking about them, and I run into them a lot. So I think they're very interesting to talk about. And but if you guys, I know that that was a listener topic the first time we did it. If you guys have a topic that you would like us to research, discuss, debate, whatever, get a hold of us on our Facebook page. We have The Gathering Radio on Facebook and thegatheringradio.com, our website. And we'd love to hear from you if you want to get a hold of us and let us know if there's a show that you would like us to talk about.
Yeah, and subjects. And then we are working on some fabulous guests for a show in the next couple of months. But I will say that I just confirmed, Heidi, Bill and Amy Lancaster, who are the producers of Cultured Bigfoot, and they have a new documentary coming out in February called Paranormal Bigfoot.
Oh, excellent.
So we are going to love this one. And so they will be on our show that first week of February. I don't know what the date is offhand, but they'll be on right before the release of Paranormal Bigfoot. So
perfect.
It'll be a fun show, and I can't wait to see Paranormal Bigfoot. Hopefully, maybe we can get a sneak preview before the show, but we'll see. But anyway, so Bill and Amy will be on, and they're fun. They're fun to chat up, and this is very, I think it'll be very different than Cultured Bigfoot, because they're actually looking at a different aspect of Bigfooting. So I think that it's going to be all the things that we think about when we're out looking for Bigfoot, because we're paranormal investigators, and we also believe that Bigfoot is from another dimension. So I kind of think it's going to maybe tie a little bit of all that stuff in there. So
yep,
it'll be a really fun show. But we are working on other guests as well. So yes, and then, but subjects for just Heidi and I to chat with everybody about, let us know what you're most interesting in. I know one of the things that we have to get back to is time travel, because, that was such a fun show.
That was a fun show.
So we need to do a little research and do another show about that one, because that was really a good one. That had everybody going, what? So at any rate, here we go. We are down to the last minute. So everyone, thanks for joining us tonight. It was very fun talking about elementals with all of you, listening to your stories and talking about even Bible passages. Time travel for sure. We're going to put that on the list in the next week.
We'll get that in the next month or so.
Yep. So anyway,
thank you. Thanks to everybody for listening, and for to Para X for hosting us, and Sarge for producing us, and all of you for joining us.
Yes. And we will see you back here at the same bat time, same bat channel in 1 week. So have a good week, everyone. Thanks.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.